Gun Sports Show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Sack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go-to-go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in a four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. They break it all down like they call in charge.
Ooh, you will not find any other show in Fort Wayne or in the 260 that has put out as much content in the last 12 days as this show. DC, I don't know about you. I was going back through it this morning just to see how many interviews you and I have done and posted to our YouTube page. And if you are not subscribed, subscribe now, because there is a lot of content on there that is already done and published that you can go back and watch. And there is about to be even more content after today's show and later this week, and it is all leading to the 2026 high school football season, college football season, and NFL as well. I went back, and we have a total of 36 interviews, not even including our show that we've done in the last week, a couple weeks, but just straight interviews with players, coaches from all around the 260, and even at the college level, as DC and I were at Mac Media Day this past week in Detroit, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But can you believe 36 interviews in the last 12 days, man?
I do believe it, and I say that because I feel every bit of it.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically, I am exhausted, brother.
Yeah, you were mentioning it to me this morning that you were pretty tired. And I am right there with you. But we're going to bring the show here, the energy on the show here, as it is a jam-packed show. Once again, we are deep in the middle of our high school previews. This week, it's the NECC, my former neck of the woods. Played in this conference when I was in high school, coached in this conference after high school. So very familiar and covered this conference all the way throughout my newspaper coverage while I was at KPC. So very familiar with a lot of these schools and coaches. Some of them are still there. A lot of turnover has happened, though, in the last few years that I have not been covering it with the paper. But there's still a lot of familiar faces, a lot of programs that are still at the top for this conference. And we will get into all of that coming up here shortly. We'll have a couple of coaches from the NECC joining us today. We'll have Eastside coach Alex Brandewey joining us at 11:20, so about here in 15 minutes. Following that, we'll stay in DeKalb County, and we'll have Garrett coach Chris Alberton joining the show at 11:40. So we'll have both of those programs on the show today. Both those programs should be competitive in their respective divisions today in this season, and we'll talk to both of them today. And we'll go through each team in the NECC, both divisions, and we'll predict our winners at the end of the show. And if you miss any of the show today, make sure you go back and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on X, Facebook, Instagram as well. And you can find our show every morning here live on Sunday morning. We are part of the Get Indiana Podcast Network. Go to getindiana.com. That is your destination for everything Indiana, from event blog posts, festival blog posts, and a whole bunch of other stuff that Nate Spangle is cooking up down there in Indianapolis. We are also a part of Outside the Huddle, as you can see a part of the graphic on the show here live. OutsideTheHuddle.net brings you the best of prep football and basketball in Northeast Indiana. They had a couple of articles come up this week that were pretty great reads, one on the future kind of the SAC a little bit and how it's going to be different after this season. So if you are a fan of SAC football or SAC sports in general, make sure that you are you know, taking it in for one last season, because it will look different going forward after this season. And there was also another feature on Austin Phillips up at East Noble, and we'll talk about the Knights coming up on our NE8 preview next week. And then DC, always pumping out the content for OutsideTheHuddle.net as well. I know he's working on some top 10 lists as we are getting closer and closer to the high school football season. DC, you mentioned you are a little tired, but overall, how are you doing this morning, buddy?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Like you said, tons of content on the page. You know, for everybody to check out, a little bit of everything. Like you said, more coming. Just trying to, you know, dedicate our love the best way we can. You know, we're very excited to be, you know, have the privilege to cover these high school sports, college sports. You know, a lot of people wish they could do it. And so we try to, you know, live through them as well. We're living the dream, and we try to live it through everybody that watches. We try to, you know, get you guys some good stuff. Yeah, it's been a busy week. You know, I started it off, man, I went to Lures first.
Yep.
Went to Bishop Lures, did those interviews with a couple of players. Nate Javens, the wide receiver, Tommy Reichert, the quarterback, and TJ Epperson, the running back, who was looked at as one of the top running backs, and not only the area, but the state.
Yep.
He's even getting state recognition now. Coach Lindsay, of course,
interviewed. You had Dallas Mata on there on the show.
Dallas Mata, who's going to be playing both sides of the ball, little running back, linebacker.
Yep.
I went to Bishop Dwinger as well. Got some good footage there. Interviewed Coach Garrett. Two running backs that I think are going to make a splash this year for Bishop Dwinger. I think that offense, and we'll save the SIC preview for that, but that Dwinger offense is going to be a lot better than it's been. You know, Dwinger's usually known to just run the ball, and then rely on their defense. And this year's team, I think, is going to be a little bit different. They're going to be switching some play calls. So those interviews are up on the YouTube channel as well. Like you said, we had Mac Media Day, which all kind of content on there.
Yep.
Apparently people liked it too. I got follows from both Kent State players on both Instagram and Twitter. They both follow me. Coach Taylor from Western Michigan followed me on Instagram and Twitter too. So, and shared the interview. So, man, it's been a great week, and we're just blessed to be here to, you know, give it to you all.
Yeah. Like I said, 36 interviews over the last 12 days.
That's crazy.
Going back to high school football media day as well. We've covered it top to bottom here on the show, and we have some interviews coming up this week. DC is heading up to Chicago to do Big Ten Media Day. We'll have, I believe, Phil Still on the show.
I miss you, brother.
Coming up this week. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't come to Chicago with you this week, but I know you do a great job, as you did really well in the interviews at Mac Media Day. Let's talk a little bit about our trip up to Detroit. I paid off my lunch bet with you about a month ago. You beat me when we played 82-0 here on the show. And we went to a really, really good restaurant. I think DC and I are both still full from that meal.
Seriously.
If you're up in the Detroit area and you need lunch recommendations, go to Fixin's. It's Southern comfort food, and man, it hit the spot just at every single level. The appetizers, the drinks, the entrees, the sides. I mean, it was excellent. DC and I were stuffed. Didn't eat dinner that night because it was so much food, and it was so good that I just wanted to finish my plate. It was so good. But outside of the food, the interviews was great. Our first experience going up there to the Mac kickoff. I got three interviews with the Ball State representatives that were there. And the Cardinals, I think, should be better this year. I don't know if they'll compete for the top of the conference, but they'll be fighting for a bowl game this year for sure. We had an interview with Chris Hood, former East Noble Knight. So go to our YouTube and check that out. And it was a lot of fun up there. We had a lot of fun getting interviews. You got a couple of Kent State players and coach, and you mentioned the Western Michigan duo that you got with Brock Lowry and Lance Taylor, the head coach. But a good overall experience, I would say, for us, and just to expand our coverage as well.
And turn to the Mac.
Yep. As Ken is a Mac grad. He's a Central Michigan grad, and so he's very familiar with the Mac up there. So overall, a good experience when we went up to Detroit.
Oh, 100%. That was my first college media day. Mm-hmm. So it went really well, really organized, really laid back, honestly.
Yeah.
Like I said, I walked in, and the first thing I see is the two Kent State players playing NCAA football.
Yeah.
And I was like, my vibe changed. Like it was kind of hectic, man. It was kind of hectic, yeah. You know, going in, like, what are we to expect? And I look over and see these two playing one of my favorite games. So I go over and sit down just to, you know, relax. And they introduced themselves to me right away. Thomas Aiden, the defensive lineman, right away, you know, because I start, you know, having a little fun with them, talking trash. And he introduces himself to me, and you could tell they were just like, oh, I kind of like this guy, you know, like, he's a cool dude. So yeah, they introduced themselves to me. I never got next though. I called next and never got it. Mm-hmm. I never got to hop on the sticks. So yeah, it was a good time, man. You know, hanging with, you know, getting to talk to some of the coaches, which is always a highlight for me. I love talking to coaches, picking their brains, all their different philosophies. It's going to be a big season in the MAC, and we'll get to cover some this year.
Yeah. As I was talking with Ball State, Coach Yaremovich invited us both down for not only their media day, but anytime we want to head down and cover a game. And you and I we instantly pulled up the schedule. And we're like, we'll find a date. We'll maybe a couple that we'll come down and see the Cardinals.
I'll have to look for the home dates, but I'm already going to their first away matchup, which it's going to be funny. Ohio State, Ball State.
Yeah, have fun with that one, because that one might get ugly. But in the MAC, the Cardinal, I think,
I wonder what the spread is.
Probably about 45.5. I mean, no disrespect to the Cardinals, but I mean, it's the Ohio State loaded, probably going to be the number one team in the country in the preseason rankings, if not in the top three. And the Cardinals are. Yes. Yeah, they're rebuilding. They lost a lot of I think they lost a quarterback, but they have a stronger offensive line with their both tackles returning, including Chris, who has slimmed down, looks great. It feels like he needed to be more mobile and more agile, and I think he will be this year. I know he's on Phil Steele's All-MAC, one of his All-MAC teams. So,
man, we didn't even mention we interview him this week.
Yeah. So it's a lot going for the Cardinals, I think, this year, that they should be competitive and should be searching for their first bowl game in a handful of years. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. Also ran into a former KPC media member and Alex Alvarado, as Ken probably remembers him, as Ken is still up at KPC. And thank you for watching our show today. But Alex is had a short stint at KPC, but it was good to catch up with him, as he's still doing some stuff with Eastern Michigan. So it was a great experience up there in Detroit. And like I said, I would love to go back, just because, like you said, it was so laid back and chill that we could go up there, grab any coach, player that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And they were all excited to talk to us. And a lot of them were, you know, happy.
The Big Ten one's a little bit different, where you have to set up interviews with the athletic communications people beforehand.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit different. Where this one, you could just run up and grab.
Yeah, it's there's a kind of like MAC is kind of down here, and Big Ten is kind of there's going to be a lot more TV cameras, newspaper outlets. I mean, there's a lot more media cover in the Big Ten.
We never got Eddie George.
No, he was bouncing around, man. Like, he was going from one TV station to the next. I didn't even see any of the ESPN coverage that they had. Apparently, ESPN had a set there. I didn't even see it. But he was probably bouncing around there. Everybody seemed to grab him. Anytime we, like, looked to see, like, oh, where's Eddie? I couldn't even find him, because he was being taken up by the media, which is, you know, understandable, even though, you know, their team – well, it didn't have such a great year last year. Hopefully they improve this year. But you get a name like Eddie George, I mean, you're going to try to interview him. So if he sticks around, we'll try to get him next year. But we'll see. But if Bowling Green has a good year, he might move up the ranks and take another job. But we'll see. Overall, a good experience at MAC Media Day. And go check out our interviews. They're all on YouTube. All on our X pages, Facebook, they're all linked out there. So make sure you go check them out if you want to catch up with any of those interviews that we had this past week. Before we get to Coach Alex Brandewee from Eastside here in about 4 to 5 minutes, I want to quickly, you wanted to quickly touch on LeBron James making his decision and going to Philadelphia. And like I said on the show last week, I really don't care where he goes. He went to Philly. I had no reaction. I was like, cool, man.
No reaction. You're lying.
I kept reading like all week that he was going to go to Miami. They were like the betting favorite. And like one of the shows that I listen to on a regular basis is based out of Miami. And they were all thinking, oh, he's coming to Miami. But I was like, ah, he, you know, spurned him at the last minute. Maybe that, that YouTube leak by the Heat was the turning tide for him to choose Philly. And, he's going to Philadelphia and they seem to be one of the favorites in the East.
I don't know, man. Starting lineup in Philly is going to be great. Obviously, starting lineup is going to be great.
Can they all stay healthy?
Can they all stay healthy? I mean, Embiid's played 90 something games in the last three seasons combined. So there's 82 games in a season.
Yeah.
And that's how many games he's played in 3 years. Yeah. So, not going to convince me they're a favorite, bro.
And then
in addition to that, once that starting lineup goes out, who's playing? Trash. Trash.
Yep. I don't think there's a lot of depth on that team.
No.
So.
And LeBron 50 years old. So he's going to have to go out at some point.
Yeah. I don't even – he probably won't. He'll probably play, like, he'll probably play the minimum to potentially get some NBA awards. But even then,
I'm not sold like a lot of people are. This isn't – a lot of people are expecting like prime LeBron to be suiting up in Philly. And it's like, you know, while he is still very good for his age and, you know, the durability he's had, he's not the same.
Yeah. No, I think they'll be good. They'll be finishing the top half of the East. I think the East is interesting, especially with Tyrese Haliburton coming back for the Pacers. And I think that conference should be more interesting. It should be deeper this year as far as teams that can contend. I think Philadelphia shot up the rankings or the betting favorites as they are the betting favorite in the East, if you want to go bet on that. But I don't know. It's the middle of July. LeBron took forever to make this decision, and it was more dramatic than I think it needed to be. I mean, he said he was like – he thought he played his last game. I don't buy that for a second. He was coming back, man. He was coming back for sure. He was coming back.
You sound over LeBron, man.
I'm just when you do this multiple times.
I thought we would start the show by doing what everyone else does on Sports Talk. I know we're doing NECC preview, but we have to have the GOAT LeBron debate.
You don't like have to else. Have. I don't want to have
fall in that trap.
No, we don't. No, Jordan
or LeBron?
I refuse to have
it. I thought we would do that for the whole first 20 minutes when we brought Coach on.
No, I don't care. I don't think Coach cares. I don't think you really care. I don't think anybody cares here in Northeast Indiana. So let's move.
He didn't go to the Pacers, so I don't care.
Yeah, that's true. If you would have gotten to the Pacers, we would have scrapped the whole NECC preview and talked LeBron for an hour and a half. I'm just kidding.
That is a serious thought, though. Why were none of these people even associated to go to the Pacers?
It's just a small market.
With Haliburton coming back, they're coming off, you know, they went to the finals. I mean, why aren't they a front runner? It's not like,
I don't
understand that.
I don't know, man.
LaMelo goes to Minnesota. How great is Minnesota compared to Indiana?
Don't know.
Ja Morant goes to Portland. How much better is Portland than Indiana? Don't get me started.
All right.
Well, get me back to high school football. Something that makes me happy.
Yeah, let's get back to high school football. Let's bring on our next guest, Eastside head coach Alex Brandewee. He's the head coach of the football team up there in Butler. Coach, thank you so much for joining the show. You guys, I think, have a lot to be excited about up there in Butler this year. Obviously, coming off a good campaign last year, you've carried the torch well up there at Eastside for the last couple of years. You know, what excites you the most coming into the 2026 season?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk with you guys. I appreciate what you do. Yeah, we're really excited, man. We're fired up. We can't wait. A lot of that, honestly, started 2 years ago when kids that are juniors and seniors now were playing a ton of football as freshmen and sophomores. I mean, Noah Dove was a freshman. He was playing a ton of varsity football. Joe Bridgman was a sophomore. He was playing a ton of varsity football. And so you went through the growing pains with those guys, right? And you went through the bad stuff with those guys. And it's not them, right? It's the same stuff every freshman and sophomore makes. A lot of them just get to do it on a JV field rather than on Friday nights in front of everybody. And those dudes that had to do it in front of everybody on Friday nights, and we went through those growing pains with them and lived through some of that bad and that messy with them. And now they're juniors and seniors, and they're ready to play their best football in big spots, I hope, because you know, you referenced last season. I think that was probably the one frustration coming out of last year is we felt like we didn't play our best football in the sectional championship against AC. We did not play particularly well. Now, huge credit to them. Huge credit to Coach Mosier. That's them inflicted also, right? That's not just us. Mm-hmm. They're a very, very good, very well-coached football team, and they do that to you. But it's frustrating when you feel like you get to a sectional championship and you don't play particularly well. So we'd like to kind of bounce back from that and bounce back from that with some guys that have some experience playing for us.
Yeah, we're getting some Eastside love in here. That last name looks very familiar. So I'm going to go ahead and start with that. I don't know if you see my list, but I'm obviously very high on your running back. I'm a former fullback myself. So when I see, you know, talented running backs, I always tend to lean a little bit that way. And you have a running back that I believe is one of the most underrated in our area. I don't think anyone really knows he was a 1,000-yard rusher. And I try to remind people, like, I don't understand people understand how hard it is to be a 1,000-yard rusher, especially when you have a quarterback like Richmond, who's also running for 1,700 yards. And, you know, so talk about your running back. I want to start there anyway. You know, talk about Noah Dove and what he brings to the program.
Yeah, Noah's an incredible kid, and he's an incredible kid because he's an incredible worker. And I don't know that he meant necessarily – I think you're right. I don't think he necessarily gets the credit that he could or should for what he is as an all-around football player. I mean, he scored 20 total touchdowns last year. He scored 14 rushing, 4 receiving, and 2 returning. He started on defense at safety. Like, that kid just does everything, man. He does everything you ask. He does everything you want. He's incredibly coachable. He's a great leader, and he works like crazy. There's not a lot of flash there as far as personality and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty quiet. It's pretty keep to myself, show up and do the work. But then you put the ball in his belly and see ya. And that's the fun stuff. And it's been fun to watch him develop over the last couple of years, because when he started playing as a freshman, he was pretty good, but there was just some stuff he couldn't quite do yet, right? He didn't have that breakaway speed yet. He was tough as heck, and we knew that about him. That's why we put him in the game, because he's tough as heck, and he's going to grow, and he's going to develop. But now you look at him, you think, okay, now there's a 175-pound running back that has run track 2 springs in a row and obviously gotten faster. And so we're thrilled, because we feel like – you know, there's steps to continue taking off of that 1,000-yard season from a year ago. I mean, it was a really nice sophomore campaign from him. But I think probably the highlight of it for him was I said we didn't particularly play well in that sectional championship. I thought Noah Dove had a fantastic game in the sectional championship. I thought on both sides of the ball, he scored multiple touchdowns. He made multiple plays from his safety position. That kid looked like a guy who was done being an underclassman playing varsity football. It was I'm here now and I'm ready to roll.
I imagine defensive coordinators in the NACC when you are just, you know, shiver when you say that Noah Dove has gotten faster, and that's, you know, going to be a huge problem for them to defend him. You mentioned, and DC mentioned as well, your quarterback coming back, Joe Bridgman, as well. You know, I imagine that makes you feel, you know, not only confident to have those two guys in your backfield, but to have your quarterback coming back and, you know, having a leader back there, and just knowing that those two guys are set and it should have some comfort level, at least on that side of the ball, with those two guys in the backfield going into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe the best part of it is they spend all fall together playing football, and they spend all winter together wrestling. So you find Joe Bridgman and Noah Dove together an awful lot of the time, which is great. That relationship between them has a lot of opportunities to kind of grow and mature and develop. But you're right. I mean, to get back to Job, we're excited for him. We're fortunate to have him on our team. We've seen some of the growing pains that he had to go through early in his career to get to where he is now. But he is kind of that leader in the locker room. And if you showed up to any of our off-season workouts or lifts or anything like that, we go a little bit from a mentality standpoint in the direction that number seven leads us. He is absolutely that leader in the locker room, and we're fortunate that he uses that to try to get the most out of himself and the most out of his teammates every single day, because he really is as good of a football player and as good of an athlete as he is. He's an unbelievable kid too. I mean, I have a 7-year-old son, and he's pretty sure the sun sets with Joe Bridgman. And that's pretty cool to see the way that develops, because he's not only a great football player, but a tremendous human being.
Yeah. And so this season, Coach, you know, we talked about two dynamic players that you have both on the offensive side of the ball and, you know, with Noah playing pretty much everywhere.
Yep.
You have an advantage, I would say, you know, over the rest of the conference. You return, you know, very important players and very important pieces to your program. But while we all know about them, I also want to know about some other guys too that you think, you know, could make a splash this upcoming season, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would start with a couple of juniors. They both played last year, Gage Fogle and Ty Siebert. They were two of our linebackers last year. But Jake Orsler was an all-state player. He played linebacker. Sam Pittman was an all-state player. He played defensive end. So these two sophomores running around at linebacker probably didn't get a whole ton of attention. And I can't wait to see what they are this year, because they've continued to take those steps, right? They've continued to grow up, to develop, to mature, to physically make themselves better. And I would expect a big year from both of those guys at linebacker. They're both juniors. They've both got at least one full season of starting under their belt already. So you won't have to go through some of those early season growing pains that you do when a kid's making his first couple varsity starts. So I'm excited for them. And then the other kind of kids that kind of come to mind, Quentin Dickerhoff is a sophomore that's going to play a ton at receiver and corner for us this year. A year ago, he was a JV kid, and then he was a varsity basketball player all winter long. And I understand it's not the same sport, but there is absolutely some carryover in the fact that those lights don't seem quite as bright to cue as they may have otherwise, right? You started 25 varsity basketball games or whatever it was. You're not uncomfortable about being a varsity athlete. And we've seen that already throughout the course of this summer, so I'm excited for him. And then just to give some love to the big guys up front, I want to make sure I shout them out so they don't feel left out. There's a couple juniors, Gavin Franklin and Cooper Kaiser, both of whom are going to start on the offensive line. And then they'll rotate in and out on the defensive line. If you saw the way those two kids attacked the weight room from like November on, because our guys don't get a break. They lift during the school day. So their first lift for the 2026 season was the Monday after we got beat by AC. Like, let's go right back to work, right? That's just kind of who we are. That's just kind of what we do. And that's how we operate. So they went right back to work and they attacked, man. Those two dudes, Cooper Kaiser and Gavin Franklin, stinking. Ooh, they got after it. So I'm thrilled to see what they are and what they look like playing. Gavin's played some for us a little bit already, but I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for those kids. So that's five or six younger kids right off the top of my head that I'm pretty excited to see what they can be on a Friday night. Now, you say all that in July and it sounds great, right? But there's some pretty big challenges. We know the schedule's not exactly light, especially early on. Those first 2 weeks are really going to challenge us, really going to push us. But we're thrilled for the opportunity, man. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, you mentioned those first two games. I mean, you guys have played AC regularly at the start of the season, but now you add on to that South Adams, another program that, you know, has been competitive in the ACAC and has made deep runs in the state tournament at whatever level they're at. You know, I imagine that's always in your guys' nature up there at Eastside. Like, you guys want to play the best, obviously, and you guys start off back-to-back weeks before you even get into conference play, and you got some, you know, difficult foes in there in both of the divisions that you guys don't hesitate to play in the big division either. But, you know, playing those two teams at the top in the non-conference right away, you know, how do you feel like that has prepared your team, you know, drawing back on playing AC so regularly, and now you add another one? Does that help you even more as far as, you know, when you get to the postseason, you guys are battle tested?
Absolutely. And that's the whole point, right? We want to find out, and we do. You start with those, you're going to find out real quick, are we actually any good, or where do we need to get better? And it's been fantastic for us the last couple of years to kind of get that answer early on in the year, because they will expose your weaknesses. in a way that they're so painful that you either can do something about it or your year's not going to go the way you wanted. So when we got the opportunity to put South Adams on the schedule in week one, I kind of jumped at it. Coach Mosier and I had texted back and forth and said, hey, we got to make this happen. We're both looking for one. This will fit perfectly, and it'll test the heck out of both of us. So let's go ahead and do it. But for us, you know, we're not going to back down from whoever wants to play, because we know that if we're going to accomplish the things we want to accomplish, we're going to need to test ourselves early. We want to be able to compete to win a sectional championship. We want to be able to compete to win a conference championship. And if you're going to be able to do those things, then you're going to need to be able to play pretty darn good football. So you don't get to hide from competition. You don't get to run away from a test. I mean, we do it with our guys all off season, all summer long. We put them in difficult positions to see which guys are going to step up and which guys maybe aren't quite ready yet. And so if we're going to talk about it, then we're going to be about it. And so we'll put South Adams up in week one, give it our absolute best, and see where the chips land, you know?
So while we're saving our official predictions, I do like that, getting a little notoriety here, Ken Fillmore, perhaps best in small school division. With your team. So I did want to ask, Coach, you know, like I said, I always love picking the brains of you guys, because you guys, I believe, you know, don't get a lot of love. You know, while the players get, you know, a lot of notoriety and stuff, I don't feel like the coaches get enough, in my personal opinion. And you're coming off the best season during your tenure, the best season since, I think it was 2022, when the program won 9 games. So what's going through your mind mentally to prepare, you know, to prepare both yourself and these group of guys to get ready with such high expectations coming into this year?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to keep our guys away from the expectation game. I mean, obviously they see everything. They look at the sectional draws and all that stuff, and they know who graduated from this place, that place, and the other place. And then they come in and I tell them, well, that's great, but Churubusco doesn't care what you did on a Tuesday. They don't care if you're tired and don't feel like lifting on a Thursday. They don't care. Garrett doesn't care. Fremont doesn't care. West Noble doesn't care. None of those people care. So you might as well show up and work today, because it's the only thing you can control right now. And yeah, we felt like we had a pretty good year ago, but at the same time, you know, goal number one needs to be to compete to and to have an opportunity to win the conference. And 2 years in a row, Churubusco has flat out played better than we have in that game. There's really no way to hide from it. There's no sense in making excuses for it. They beat us, and they beat us 2 years in a row. And until you can get over that hump, there's really no reason that we should look at ourselves and think of ourselves as anything more than somebody that needs to get ready for the next test. Right? You don't get to look down the road when you've not finished the job in front of you yet. And the job in front of you right now starts with South Adams in week one, Adams Central in week two, and then we'll get into the conference schedule. But we're thrilled, and we think, obviously, with this group, the possibilities are pretty cool. But we've seen it 2 years in a row where you don't play your best games in big games and you get beat. Right? Whether that be Adams Central a year ago, Churubusco a year ago, Churubusco the year before that. Like, it happens, man. It's high school football. And that other team they get to prep all week too. They get to prep, they get to practice, they get to put in their wrinkles and their trick plays and their this, that, and the other thing. And if you don't handle it at 7 o'clock on a Friday night, then all the expectations in the world don't mean squat. So, I know it's out there. I'm keenly aware of it. Our guys are talking about it in the locker room. You can hear it get a little quieter when I walk in, but I'm not worried about expectations, man. I'm worried about August 3rd and what we can get done on August 3rd right now. Our guys got this entire week off. I won't see them at all. Enjoy summer. Go be a kid. I asked them to please not do any crazy, silly stuff, like no wrecking dirt bikes or four-wheelers or whatever. Yeah. But I'll see you on August 3rd, and then we're going to put our foot on the pedal, and we're not going to let up until somebody makes us.
Fun story for you, Bryce, that I'll save for another day. I've wrecked a dirt bike before, believe it or not.
All right, we'll get into that.
I've got on one since. So, don't do it.
Yeah, we'll get into that later in the show today. Coach, what have you learned about, you know, those are probably the games that probably have stuck out to you the most, you know, those losses. And you can rattle them off just like that. What have you felt like have you learned and taken away from those experiences that you can, you know, put into this year's team and make sure that, you know, those mistakes and those games don't happen?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think it's an ability to execute in really difficult moments, and sometimes we characterize that as with our guys as just the desire to finish. And a couple times a year ago, we felt like we had the ball inside the 10-yard line against Churubusco and didn't finish. We fumbled on the I think the 2-yard line at one point. We got stopped inside the 5 on another drive. Like in big games and big spots, you have got to finish. You absolutely have got to finish. Everything comes down to that point, right? That play, that opportunity, that one moment. And we have to be better in that spot. So we've emphasized, whether it be a set of squat on a Tuesday in February or a tackling drill in practice, like you better finish every single thing. And it's not that we weren't talking about those things before. It's just I didn't have 3 different examples off the top of my head to holler, yell, and scream about to make sure kids understand what I'm talking about, right? And that's kind of the biggest piece of it. I would say the other kind of thing that sticks out is you kind of have to have a sense of who your dudes are and which guys want that spotlight, which guys want that moment, which guys, when it's the fourth quarter and you need to make a play, which guys want the ball. Now, obviously, I feel like we have a couple of them that are that way, and we've talked about those guys already. But which guy up front says, hey, coach, run it right behind me. I'm good. Like, I got it. We're fine. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna move this guy right across from me. We're gonna get the double up to the linebacker. We're gonna get the 2 yards we're gonna need, and we're gonna win the game. Like having a better sense of and having a better understanding of, okay, when the lights are the brightest, which guys shine, which guys want it, which guys are ready for that moment, and not that I'm not gonna try to develop that. In fact, that's kind of been the approach: is how do we put our guys in more pressure packed moments all off season long, all summer long, so that we have 20 of those dudes instead of 5.
Yeah.
How do I make you uncomfortable so you get real comfortable being uncomfortable? Well, we spent all summer traveling all over the state of Indiana to go have summer competitions with people. We went down to Muncie Central, went with Muncie Central and Eastern. We went over to West Noble with West Noble and Bishop Lures. We went up to Jimtown, went with Jimtown last week. We went to Columbia City, went with Columbia City and Southside. So we went everywhere and saw everybody to try to put our guys in as many different kind of spots as we could. With as many different people, not common opponents, not people we see regularly, and tested the heck out of them. And frankly, I sit here now at the end of July, and I think we handled that pretty well. So that's one of those steps that we have to take in the natural growth and maturation of our program to take that next step and get over that hurdle, as you say.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Super excited to see what your team can do this season. You have a lot of like great pieces coming back that we mentioned, and you know you got me fired up to watch some East Side football this year. And good luck this year, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate what you do, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Coach. That is Eastside Coach Alex Brandewee joining us here on the Sideline Sports Show. And DC, it feels like Eastside should be considered one of the favorites in the NECC small division and probably beyond that. I think we had and Coach Grant Moser said last week that Eastside should be considered one of the favorites in 2A in the North. And I was going to ask Coach about that, but it feels like he handled that expectation question pretty well. So they're kind of just, you know, the same old, taking it one game at a time. And it feels like that they have at least some pieces that, you know, that they're bringing back. We mentioned with Job and Noah, but then they have some other guys that are coming in and filling in. And we'll see if those guys can, play some varsity football after being on the JV field the last couple of years. So, let's just go across the county. We won't go from the east side of DeKalb County to the west side, and we'll bring on Garrett head coach Chris Albertson as he joins us here on the show. And Coach, you're just speaking to me with that jersey right behind you, and I've seen it
in the waiting room.
I know you saw it, DC. Coach, how's it going? Can you hear us?
Did he lose us?
I don't know if he can hear us. We're trying to get to him. And Garrett went 6-6 last year. Coach, can you hear us?
I don't think he can.
Doesn't look like Coach can hear us at the moment. We'll see if we can get connected with him. First year was the last year for Coach Albertson. Went 6-6, made it all the way to the sectional championship game, but lost to Angola. And their season, their sectional doesn't get any easier, even though there's some shuffling that goes on in their sectional this year. They have Adams Central and now Bluffton in it, and they have played Adams Central recently. I believe as early as last year they were playing AC. They changed up their non-conference opponents last year. They've been competitive against teams like AC, but now they open up the schedule at DeKalb. So they start off the season with a rivalry game, and it should be a good one, as I think DC and I both think that DeKalb should be pretty solid this year and should be competitive against the top teams in the NE8. And so that game against Garrett week one, and it's always been played week two since going back a handful of years now.
Yeah.
But that game has been moved up to week one. So it should be an exciting game. Coach, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Cool. Awesome. No. And I was saying, you didn't hear us the first time, but you're tugging on my heartstrings with that jersey behind you. So,
oh really?
Yeah. So, and
I'm a big time Packer fan. I got I don't get up to games much, but just because of coaching gets in the way. But yeah,
yep.
Got two of you. I'm outnumbered.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. What you guys coming off a really good year in your first year, you make it to a sectional championship game. Unfortunately, you fall to a rival in Angola in that matchup. But what excites you the most about coming into year two under your leadership?
I think our guys have just been really coachable this year. Obviously, we lost a really strong senior class. I think we had 16 seniors, and all of them impacted the game in many different ways on offense and defense. So obviously, we got to find guys that are going to step up and replace all those really good athletes that we had. And they've done a good job. While they didn't have a lot, they don't have a lot of varsity experience. They all ask questions. They bring notebooks to film sessions after our thud practices that we've had with other teams. And it's just a big learning is taking a lot of place to get them ready for varsity football this next year, especially with how we open up the season with some tough games. So
I want to start off, you know, although you don't return a lot, you do return, in my eyes, one of the best running backs in the conference that I believe is, again, underrated. It might be because of the small school division, maybe. I don't know why you guys don't get more love. But in addition, you know, talk about the running back position and what you bring back.
We got two really good running backs that produce a lot of yards. I'm assuming when you're talking about that now, it's Guzman. And then the other one's Aiden Reed. They're both pretty good. Guzman qualified for the 100 in state this year from track. He was actually projected to get out in the two. Didn't make it in the 200 and made it in the 100. So track's a weird sport, but he's fast. So he's not just football fast, he's track fast. And he's been a great leader for us. So is Aiden Reed. They've both been getting a lot of carries. We kind of limited a little bit in the scrimmage just to make sure that they're healthy. With the system that we run, we need a third back. Our third back this year is going to be Easton Rao. He's played a little bit of tight end. He's been played some receiver. He's kind of moved all over the field for us. But he kind of can do it all, so we put him back at that third spot with our double wing offense, and he's been doing a pretty good job with that as well. So that's what we'll have, those three guys running the ball, all seniors. So that's good. That'll be a good thing to have for us.
Yeah, for sure. What did you learn in year one that you're gonna take the lessons from and put it into the 2026 season?
I think it's keeping things simple. You don't want to get too complicated. That was something Coach Depew told me when I talked to him when I took the job, and everything is just keep it simple. Make sure you can run your stuff very well at a high level, and it doesn't really matter what you're seeing with fronts. With the style that we play, I mean, we see so many random fronts and people do so many different things that we just have to make sure our guys know their rules and block their rules, especially on offense, to make sure that we're still able to run the ball and move it like we want to.
Yeah, so one of the positions that I know, you know, are one of the, I would argue, hardest to replace, and, you know, that's the quarterback position. But you were a program, I think you had, what, two or three quarterbacks last year that spent a lot of time?
We had two.
Yeah, and so, you know, split a lot of time last year. So talk about the quarterback position. I know, you know, in a conference where, you know, quarterbacks are pretty strong, where do you sit with the quarterback position? Who do you got?
Right now, we're still in a quarterback battle between Junior and White Hefty. He played a little bit last year. And then a sophomore in Adrian Porter. They're really neck and neck. And so we're hoping once we start in August that we can figure out who's going to be the one that takes charge of the position for us. So, but they've both done a pretty good job this summer.
You mentioned at the start of our interview that you have bumped up the, I would say, non-conference beginning portion of your schedule. And obviously that game against DeKalb moves up to week one and you add Huntington North. So you have two NE8 programs that you're playing from the jump. Is that something that you wanted to do this offseason, is kind of, beef up that schedule, that part of your schedule, and to, hopefully better prepare you on it in the postseason?
Yeah, anytime you get a chance to play bigger schools like that, it's always a good thing. Obviously, DeKalb's a rivalry game, and just moving that up a week, I think it intensifies week one a little bit more. Not to say that we weren't ready to play Adams Central the last couple years either, but it's just a different thing when it's your county rival. And everybody, that rivalry means a lot to the community and to the people of Auburn. And so playing that week one kind of gives it its own little special feel. And then just finding a week two game, that Huntington North would have been, they had availability, and that was actually made, I think, 2 years ago, before I even took the job, when we were making that choice. So, but I think it's a good one. And like I said, anytime you get to play a bigger school, I've coached against Coach Espach before, when I was at Woodland, when he was at Eastside. So I'm somewhat familiar with what he does. So that's kind of a good thing, but I know, it'll be a really good game between us. So I'm looking forward to it.
So you mentioned on the offensive side of the ball. So I want to go to the defensive side of the ball, where a name you've already mentioned, comes back. I believe he was your leading tackler last year too. And yep. Aiden Reed, who comes back over 100 tackles last year. Nobody knows it. Nobody's talking about it. Once again, someone else should be talking about. And you bring him back. What, with him playing, so much and so important to your program, from your perspective as a coach, what is, in addition to what in the production on the field, what does Aiden bring to your program?
He just brings a style of play that's really intense. He's not afraid of anybody. He's really physical. He wants to hit people. And that's great from the middle linebacker position. He's, like I said, just really physical, and he's really stepped up his leadership this year as well. I wasn't really sure how that would translate from having a very senior dominant class last year. And he's kind of stepped up in that role that I wanted to see. And we've had a lot of conversations about how he needed to take charge and be a leader. And he's done a good job of that. And so I'm looking forward to see what he does this year. He's going to be a kid that probably doesn't come off the field a whole lot. And I think he wants it to be that way. So
We focused on a couple of names that, are returning and have a lot of production to their name in the last year or so. Who are some of the guys that you're looking to step up and hopefully fill some of those gaps left open by the big senior class that you graduated last year?
We actually had two seniors. One played before, and then another one, this is his first year, Dawson Hedges and Dawson Hefty, come out this year. Dawson Hefty didn't play last year. But he's back this year, and I think he's going to have a big year. He'll play safety and our ex wide receiver. And then Dawson Hedges also is a basketball player for us, and he's done a really great job at corner. And he'll rotate in a little bit at that X spot as well. And I've been very impressed with both of them, with the physicality they've brought and the leadership for guys that they're obviously really well respected in the school for being athletes already in other sports and have had success in other sports. But they've stepped up and have done everything that we've asked of them. As far as some younger guys go, we got a new kid that transferred in last year. And for basketball, Aiden O'Neill, he'll play some defensive line for us. Trey Nyman. He'll be a sophomore. I expect him to have a good year. He's done a really great job this year. He's played with some great attitude in the summer of just being really physical, which is great for us at Garrett. Wyatt Lash is another one. He is an offensive lineman primarily, so he's not going to be one that gets a lot of that recognition, but he'll play a little bit on defense as well. He's a big 6'2", 6'3", 300-pounder, and throws shot put as well for us. And he's only a junior, and I expect big things from him going forward, and somebody that will probably run the ball a lot behind. So
something we're looking forward to, Coach, is week one. Bryce and I can't wait to get out and see some games on the sidelines. And I look, you know, for your week one opponent, you're going up a class and you got the DeKalb Barons week one. What are you expecting to get out of that week one matchup? And what are you looking to see from your guys in the first week?
I just want to see us compete, be physical. Obviously, it's a long season. We obviously want to go in, try to beat DeKalb. That's obviously the main goal week one, start off your season with a big W, and that would be huge. Get that rivalry game back because we lost close. I know the score doesn't really show it last year, but I felt that game was a very close game and just ended in a crazy way to make the score look a little bit worse than what it was, in my opinion. But I think our kids will be ready for it, and we want to make sure that we're playing our style of football, playing really good defense, running the ball well, making sure that whatever type of defense they throw at us, we're ready for it with the blitzes, and make sure that we're controlling the tempo and being that physical team that we want to be.
Coach, where do you feel like you fit in? And obviously you guys want to be at the top of the big division in the NECC when the season is done, but where do you feel like, you know, your biggest threat comes from in the big division? It feels like that going into it and talking to a couple of other coaches at High School Football Media Day a couple of weeks ago, it feels like that there's, you know, a lot of, when you ask who's the favorite in the NECC big division, there's a lot of hands that get thrown up, and it just feels like that this should be a competitive division, just like it was last year. If you look at a lot of the results, you know, this team beats this team, but this team, you know, comes from behind and beats this team. It feels like that there is real no favorite in the NECC big division. And, you know, by the end of it, we could be surprised who could be the conference champ.
Yeah, I think this year in and year out, I mean, this is only my third year coach in the NECC, but just from watching it from afar, all the big schools year in and year out are really competitive, and I think that's something that people outside of Fort Wayne may not know. And so when you look at that, it makes it for a lot of fun games, and every game means something as well. There's not going to be anybody that we play that's not going to be a tough game. Every game you have to be ready for, you have to play your best in every game. Because you could get beat every single game, no matter what, who you're playing and what school you're going against. It really doesn't matter because the level of competition is so close and so tight, which makes it a lot of fun to coach in as well. Your kids have to, if we get beat the week before or win the week before, you got 24, 48 hours. You got to be ready to go on Monday and be ready for our next opponent. So that's one thing that's a lot of fun coaching in the NECC big schools.
Coach, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck this season, or we're excited to see what you guys are able to do in year two under your leadership. And once again, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for doing what you guys do. It's awesome.
Thanks, Coach. Have a good one.
Yep, that is, you too.
That is Garrett Coach Chris Albertson here on the Sideline Sports Show. And, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
They're going to surprise some folks this season, I believe.
Yeah, I think
so. I know they got a lot of replacements, but they have some key guys. Like, I think Aiden Reed is a name that, you know, I'm really glad he brought up before I did, because that's a name that needs to be brought up by more people than us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the two guys that we mentioned at the top, and it kind of, you know, it runs parallel. We were just talking about the East Side. You know, they have two guys that are coming back, with Garrett and specifically with Aiden Reed and Alex Guzman, that they're top rushers, they're top defensive players, both returning this season, and those guys are going to be leaned on as
Guzman almost made my top 10 running backs list. He was right there.
Yeah, and it's like you said, when we were going through that list a couple of weeks ago, it was like it's difficult to get on, you know, outside the SAC, there's a lot of guys in the SAC, and then outside there's, you know, guys like Noah Dupp, Alex Guzman. And there's just a lot of guys that Cooper Craig that we talked about, you know, last week. I mean, those guys, it's hard to crack those lists, especially with the way that a lot of schools play offensive football. They run the ball a lot. So it's going to have a lot of different guys that are, you know, going to be able to put up stats, and Garrett's offense is, you know, a lot really run heavy. Like, they had three different guys that were maybe even a fourth that had like 600 yards rushing last year. So I think that this program could be pretty interesting this year. And I'm super excited to see what what the conference does this year. So let's dive deeper into the conference, and we'll start off with the big division, and we'll go through it, and I think we'll go through it, and by the end of it, we'll pick who we think our division champ will be, and I think we'll go from there. And for me, I think probably the leader going into, just because with what they do have coming back, is probably Wes Noble. And I just think that with what they have coming back in Brogan Parks and Zamir Barnes-Bridges, those two guys running the ball, and they have a little bit more back on defense than a program like Garrett does. And especially with guys like Ethan Yates, who is back, a couple of other juniors that were productive last year. They do have to, I think, find a new quarterback. But they have one of their top receivers, Braden Limerick, is back. So it's going to be, I think, interesting, like Garrett, finding a new quarterback. And I think if you look across the NECC big division, I think four out of the five, if not all of them, are trying to find a starting QB. So that's going to be interesting when all of these teams have a new quarterback to start the season. As Coach Albertson just mentioned, there's a quarterback battle going up on Garrett. But I think there's a lot of interesting things, and a lot of these teams have an interesting pieces back. I think Wes Noble at this moment, looking, you know, just on paper, and we'll see with the new guys that come in for each of these teams, I think Wes Noble right now is probably, with what they have coming back, just having a little bit more than most, is probably going to be at the top of the division favorite going into the season.
Yeah, 100% agree. You know, a team like Lakeland has to replace their quarterback. You know, when you have to replace a guy like Braden Holbrook, who threw for 2,000 yards last season, yeah. You know, Lakeland was right there, you know, last year as one of the best teams. But you look at that, you know, they have to replace that position. There's just the other programs. Hawk Hasselman out at Angola, new coach.
They're replacing, like, a lot.
Yeah, but Hawk Hasselman, though,
yeah.
You can't just replace Hawk Hasselman. Fortunate for Wes Noble that a lot of the conference is gone, while they bring back a lot, including guys like Brogan Parks and like Ken brings up, Ethan Yates as well. It's going to be really hard to top that in the NECC big division. So Wes Noble is probably the team I would go with, you know, to win it. Guzman will have a big season for Garrett. So it's really tough for me to go against Wes Noble, though. If we're just picking who's going to win, it's going to be Wes Noble for me.
I'm leaning Wes Noble as well. I think they win it for another year in a row. We'll find out how good Wes Noble is right from the jump, I think, because they open with Northridge. And as we did our top five games going into this year, that was in my top five, I think, if not at the top, just because it's Luke Amstutz coming back and coaching. And he's coming back to the 260 to coach a game, you know, and I think that game will be fascinating. We'll just see, because Northridge has been down these last couple of years. Yeah. And I think he'll have that program back up and running just like that. And Wes Noble, I think, will get a good start to the season against Northridge. That game should be very fascinating and very telling on where this program is. And I just think Wes Noble just has the most back. And when you bring back that much experience, especially in the talent that they have with those guys in the backfield, and the way that they that program and that offense runs under Coach Mayhorder has been doing it for a long time. I'm super excited to see what they can do. I think they should win the division. I'm right there agreeing with you, picking them to.
Garrett's about the only team that I can think of that will have a shot to even have a say so. But even that, I think Wes Noble just has more returning. But Garrett's closer than people think.
Yeah, I think that they should be competitive. That game, when do those two teams play? I'll have to head it right here real quick. Garrett and Wes Noble, they play week three. So that game at Wes Noble, September 4th.
And it's at Wes Noble.
Yeah, so I think that that game is going to go a long way in deciding the conference, even though it's their first conference game for both of them. And it should go a long way on who's going to come out on top, because I think I'm interested to see what Angola does under coach Seth Wilcox. He did a solid job at DeKalb, kind of, you know, taking them up a level. And you know, I think bringing, you know, not, I don't want to say stability, because I thought coach Pete Kemp did had some good years as well. But I just think that, you know, they took a small step up, and then he went to go be the defensive coordinator at Angola last year. And I had a good chat with him at Media Day. You can go check out that interview on our YouTube page. And I thought he explained it well, that what my question was to Coach Alberton, like, it could be a, you know, a toss up here and there week to week in the big division. But I think with just, they lost so much. They lost all of their, you know, top rushers, their quarterback, a lot of production on defense. It's just, they're replacing a lot. They have a couple of top defenders coming back, and Niles Knox and Owen Shule as their top guys. And those guys were productive, but I just think that they lost too much to be, you know, considered to be one of at the top, at the favorites. And then Lakeland as well lost all their top talent, including quarterback. They lost their top receivers. Breyer Allshaus and Carter Kraus come back as the top defenders. But I think that that's just too much production on the offensive side to replace, similar to Angola. And then with Fairfield, who we haven't touched on, they were at the bottom of the big division last year, and they were young that I don't know if they're going to have enough coming back, and they might be more competitive, and they were competitive. They had some close results last year against some of the top teams in the big division, but I don't think they're going to be able to compete with the top of the division. So I think you and I are on the same page. It's West Noble, and then probably a small step down Garrett, followed by Angola Lakeland. So
that sounds about right. Now the small division, I believe will be a different look this year. You know, moving to the NECC small division, where it's a little bit less top heavy. You know,
really? I think it's Eastside's to lose, man. If Eastside doesn't win it this year, the small division, I think it's a disappointment.
I think people might be sleeping on Fremont.
I think Fremont will be good. I don't think that they can beat Eastside.
Where the big division, I'm 100% on West Noble. 100%.
Yeah.
Small division, yeah, Eastside returns Joe Richmond, Noah Dove. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But look, you know, you go as far again. You know, you go as far as that quarterback position. And, you know, while Richmond is nice, Jerry Laughlin had a big people been asleep. He's been putting in some work. Quarterback at Fremont been putting in some work. Jerry Laughlin, who there's a reason why he made my top 10 quarterbacks. My eyes are on him. He's been putting in a lot of work. He had an okay year last year.
Yeah.
You know, in Fremont, I believe this is going to be one of those teams to watch here, just because of, you know, not to mention they're coming off what their best season, and I can't even tell you how long. I
2001.
It was 2001.
That was the last time they made it.
They won 8 games.
Well, no, I don't think it was that long. That was the first time that they made a sectional championship game.
Oh, I'm just thinking the last time they won 8 games, brother.
And like, it might be a similar story, but I think it's I agree with you that I think Fremont is going to be one of those teams.
Watch them.
That I'm definitely watching. I was coming into this year and thinking, man, this team, and even talking with some coaches at Media Day that.
Now, Eastside did destroy him last year.
Yeah, I know. But Eastside, I think, is going to be not different, but they are going to – I'm interested to see what they can do on the offensive the lines, because they're replacing a lot on the lines. I know they have the two studs in the backfield, but it's going to be interesting. And that game
– Ken, that's another key that I'm talking about. Guys up front are what's key. Especially when it comes to competing you know, against teams like Eastside, who return a lot of, you know, skill players, but, you know, have to return, you know, have to plug and play some new guys up front, where Fremont returns quarterback, skill guys, and the guys up front. So while I agree that Eastside, it's their division to lose, Fremont is right there. So don't sleep. Where no. In the big division, it's West Noble, and if they lose it, I'm playing the lottery.
I think Fremont will finish second in the division. I'm still going to go Eastside as my top team.
I will finally play the lottery if West Noble loses the big division for the first time in my life. And my girlfriend can hear me because she's in the other room.
Yeah.
She knows I will never play the lottery. But if West Noble loses the big division in the NECC, I will go buy a lottery ticket and I'll play.
There's only a couple of dollars. Like it's only it's not like that's not
and it's wasting. It's throwing it away.
All right.
Let me start.
That's true. All right. But you know, Ken makes, you know, a lot of good points. He puts in the chat here, like Cheribusco only returns two starters. I mean, that's
crazy.
They replace a lot, man. Like it is two starters, but and you go down and like looking like at the rest of their production, like man,
is that confirmed, Ken?
Yes.
Like that's a confirmation, two starters.
Yeah, dude. You go to the, like their Max Preps page and it's senior from last year. And it goes on and on and on. It was a very senior laden team last year. A couple of guys that were like, I think maybe sophomores and maybe another one is a junior that's coming back.
I don't
know
how I feel about that.
Busco's going to take a step back this year. I think
step back?
Maybe two. Like,
Backwards, brother. Jogging.
I think so. I think my order, and we'll put graphics out on social media like we did for the ACAC. My small division is probably Eastside, Fremont, Busco, Prairie Heights, Central Noble. That's probably my order. I think Eastside, I think just the way that program has been running for the last decade plus, I think I know Busco has these last couple of years. Busco was so senior laden and experienced these last couple of years that they were the ones to able to knock them off. But I think with what Eastside has coming back, I think they're just going to be just better than what Fremont is, even though Fremont brings back a ton. And I'm super excited to see what they can do. Hopefully they can not only get to another sectional championship, but actually win it this time around. It's going to be tough. I think that they should be a contender in that sectional, even though they have South Adams in that sectional. That could be a sectional championship type game, you know, and it should be fun because I think Fremont will probably win close to eight games once again this season. I think they can have a really good year. They start off the season with Blackhawk, Osceola Grace, Busco, and then week four against Eastside. That should be a fun matchup.
I shocked the world last week with my ACAC prediction.
You're not gonna pick Fremont to win the division. No, you're not. Don't do it.
So we've been told and confirmed that Trayton Fletcher is not playing for Central Noble. Which is why he was taken off my top 10 quarterbacks list.
Yeah. I asked you about that this morning because I was, you know, going back. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the list, and I was like, Trayton Fletcher is not on this list anymore. That's unfortunate.
That was confirmed by Coach.
That's unfortunate because Coach Gabe Stuck, who takes over for Central Noble this year, that's going to be a rebuild type year for the Cougars. Let's just say that it's going to be tough, and they had a lot of seniors last year, and the team struggled. They struggled and they'll struggle, I think, once again.
Well, what raised the question for you and the listeners was, so I did a collaboration post with Top Dogs on Instagram. And in the comments, one of his teammates at Central Noble commented and said, Trayton's not playing this year. So I'm like, I go to their page and they're a player.
Yeah.
So, you know, I reached out to some sources and they double checked and no Trayton Fletcher for Central Noble this year. So yeah, if they had any hopes to improve, I'm sorry, Bryce. I know that's your alma mater, but
no, I didn't think, I thought they were going to struggle this year. I mean, they won one game last year and again, it was against Prairie Heights, who was 0-10 last year. And unfortunately, those two teams, I think, are going to be at the bottom of the division once again. Prairie Heights, I think, should be improved because they played a lot of underclassmen last year, a lot of juniors and sophomores. So I think they'll be improved this year, but still, they are still several rungs below where Eastside and the Fremont likes the likes of those teams are. And it just, it'll be a struggle for them. So, I got Eastside at the in top of the small division. Who do you got?
Like I said, I shocked the world with Bluffton.
Come on.
Winning the ACAC. So, in the NECC small division in 2026, your winner, Bryce, and listeners, is going to be the Eastside Blazers.
All right. Good. Yeah. I needed to come around. Yeah. I think like you and I think are in favor of Fremont doing some good things this year, for sure. Coach Thomas has done an excellent job up there in building these last couple of years. It should be a good year up there in Fremont once again. I just think Eastside and is just going to be that much better.
You have a cheat code like Joel Richmond, man, who, I mean, 1,300 passing yards, Bryce. I mean, 20 passing touchdowns. And that's in addition to running for what he run for, 1,700 rushing yards. 1,700 rushing yards, 1,300 passing yards, 20 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
20 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean,
and just to throw this out there too, Jared Laughlin, who I said is improved for Fremont as a quarterback, also ran for 20 touchdowns last year. So
yeah,
we're getting two running quarterbacks when that game, man, I might have to pull up to that game. Hold up.
That's week four. It's at Fremont. Well, you can take a week off from Carroll Dwinger to go up to Fremont. What?
Are you crazy?
Dude, I'll drive you up to Fremont. I'll drive. You want to drive up there?
I might have to switch my week four, man. I might have to pull up for that one.
I mean, that one's going to, I think, decide the small division. You know, yes. I know my week one and three.
Carroll Dwinger might decide the SAC.
That's true. My, you know, I'll go up to Fremont for us. So.
I'm jealous, man. That's two games you get to go to that I want to take all my games.
It's good. Yeah, it should be a good game, man. I'm super excited.
If I don't go to that one and you go, you better give me some footage, brother.
Oh, I plan on, like, any game we go to, I plan on getting some stuff. So,
all right.
Like you said, I'm my plan is to make it out to more than just a handful of games this year. We should, you know, both of us will be on the sidelines for sure covering games this year, getting some highlights, getting some interviews after the game for sure. So we got some plans in the works to get a lot of more content, just as we have here on the page recently on our YouTube page. So make sure you go check out all of our stuff. We'll have some content. If you missed any of our interviews with Eastside coach Alex Brandewee or Garrett head coach Chris Alberton, both of those interviews you can check out on our YouTube page, or you can just, you know, hit reverse on this video and go back and watch those as well. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X. We are part of the Get Indiana Podcast Network. Make sure you go to getindiana.com and subscribe to their newsletter at the top of the page. And we've also partnered with Outside the Huddle. OutsideTheHuddle.net brings you the best of prep football and high school basketball in Northeast Indiana. We will have more high school football previews coming up here in the next few weeks. Next week, it's the NE8, and a lot to discuss with them. Do we already have a favorite who's locked in?
Yep.
I think so, too. Well, anybody who has been watching the NE8 probably knows who we're talking about, especially with how much talent that particular team brings back. Following that will be the SAC, which I think will be a riveting discussion on who we think will be.
Already got a coach book for that one.
All righty.
Southside Archers all day, baby. Coach Goodwell, coming on.
I'm excited to have Coach. They should be. I think they should be solid this year. I think they should be improved this year.
I also owed him because remember he was waiting for his interview at Media Day, and I interviewed the. Oh yeah, you weren't there.
Yeah,
you'd already left. So I was supposed to interview Coach Goodwill at Media Day, and I got all the players. And then, like, I realized after the players, I had like a line of like three or four more teams waiting. Mm-hmm. And so I went through the players, and then was basically like, "Who's next?" And Coach Goodwill was like, "I'm like, my bad, man." So I make it up to Coach. Bring on, give us give a little Archer love.
Yeah, for sure. We can do that. Only because we probably won't give that much love to my Cougars this year. It'd be a tough year up in Albion. But hey, if this should be a reason to convince you to go up to Fremont, a pork burger up there.
I've never had one.
You've never had one? Oh man. Nope. It's a Northeast Indiana delicacy. And most people that grow up or are from the Allen County or Fort Wayne area have no idea what a pork burger is. Oh,
so. I mean, pork burger.
I mean, it sounds exactly what it is, but it's you get one made on the grill. Oh, it's delicious.
I mean, you mustard. And along with everyone else be hyping them up, but
a little mustard, maybe a little we'll barbecue see. Sauce, depends on you know what your preference is.
All right,
very good, very good. Even if you go like south, you can find them as well. They call them something. They just call them like sausage patties or something down there. It's a little different name for it, but definitely a good time. Definitely a good time. All right. Any other thoughts on the NECC before we get out of here, DC?
We're all good to go. Our graphics will be posted everywhere on social media, so you can check them out with the actual standing predictions. And looking forward to NE8 next week, man. Stay tuned in and, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Tons more content coming. Like we said, Big Ten Media Days this week. I'm going to be out there. So tons of stuff coming. College football preview with Phil Steele will be there. Man, we're just getting started. It's going to be a busy season, a busy fall for us, but we're looking forward to, you know, including you all in on our journey.
We have 36. I'll say it once again, 36 interviews from the last 12 days. If you want to go check them out, including high school football and some college football, as DC and I were up at Mac Media Days in Detroit this past week. So go check them out on our YouTube channel. You can find the interviews that we did today as well. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. You guys have done an excellent job. Our YouTube channel has grown significantly here in the last 2 weeks. Thank you to all of you who have been watching the show live. Thank you who have all followed us and subscribed. For DC Hendricks, I'm Bryce Vance. This is the Sideline Sports Show, and we'll see you all next week.